John, but I want to look at 1 John chapter 1 this morning, and just maybe some things that are familiar, maybe not, but hopefully this will be a help to us this morning, all right? 1 John chapter 1, it's only 10 verses. Let's read the entire chapter together. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, are the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So right from the text here in 1 John chapter 1 this morning, I just want to look at this thought, light or lie. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, we ask that You would help me to be able to explain it clearly. Lord, most of all, we pray that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts. Pray that You give us exactly what we need, and we thank You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. John, here, of course, this is the epistle of the Apostle John, late at the end of his life. And the theme here in 1 John chapter 1 is fellowship. Walking with God, knowing God. That's the overall theme of 1 John chapter 1. He begins by stating, hey, I was an eyewitness to Christ. I mean, Peter stated that. Now, you won't remember by the time Pastor gets there in 2 Peter chapter 1 anyway, but you know, 2 Peter chapter 1, towards the end of the chapter, Peter says, hey, we were eyewitnesses of His Majesty, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. But, you know, Peter and James and John as apostles had the ability, the authority to say, hey, we saw firsthand these things from Jesus Christ. But I want to look at really verses 5 through 10 this morning. And this thought that John begins with by, you know, is your relationship appropriate? Do you have the right relationship? And he says, is it light or lie is the contrast that he's given. Verse number 5, this then is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. All right? Light is a great thing, right? If you don't believe that, just wait and see how you feel when you're deprived of it for a period of time. And you know, we had a couple summers ago when I was with a quartet from the college, and we were up in Virginia. We were near Luray Caverns. I don't know if any of you have been there. I know there's different sections across the country where there's different caverns. I'm telling you what, if you go underground and they turn off the lights, you'll find out how much light means to you at that point. You know, light is essential to everything that we try to do. I mean, you live in the same place, you've lived there for years, you know where everything is, but turn out the light and somehow your toe still manages to find something you should have known was right there. And yet you step on it, you bump into something. But light, in a physical sense, it allows us to see, to function, it gives us a sense of comfort, all of those things. But light, when it's referring to God, God is light. I mean, I think you look at Acts chapter 9, where Saul was on the road to Damascus, and the light from heaven shone down on him. There is a brightness and a glory of God that's described multiple places in the Scripture. And I believe that light is a characteristic of the person of God when we see Him in heaven. In fact, Revelation says there's no sun or moon. Why? Because the Son of God is the light. Okay? God is light. But also by application here in 1 John chapter 1, light is contrasted with darkness. Light here is representing purity. Okay? Or it's representing all that is good and right and holy about the character of God. Light as contrasted with darkness. Light then would represent those things which are good, which are holy, and so forth. And the darkness, those things which are evil. If you look up you look up the word darkness in your dictionary. I did look it up in more than one dictionary. And the basic definition, I knew Pastor would appreciate that. So I didn't have his 3,000-page unabridged dictionary, but I do have one in PDF form. So, but anyway, if you look up darkness, the definitions are basically some form of this, a partial or total absence of light. So darkness is not as much the presence of something as it is the absence of something. Okay? It's the absence of light or the lack of light. Okay? The whole concept of darkness is that something's missing. It's interesting when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and you look at the creation, God created light, then He created the sun, moon, and stars. Okay? But anyway, light is not only part of the person and character of God, but it represents the nature of God. And darkness is the absence of light. So, you know, here in when John's going to use this application of light versus darkness, you know, it's the presence of God and fellowship with God. Darkness is the absence of God, of that fellowship with God, or the lack of a walk with God, if you want to say it that way. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we have light, or we're lying. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse number 8, we deceive ourselves. Verse 10, if we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar. Okay? And so the contrast here is between those who truly had light, had fellowship with God, and those who claim to, but didn't indeed, in fact, have that fellowship with God. There's a contrast in verses 6 and 7. If we say, verse 7, but if we walk, okay? There are two conditional statements here. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth, but if we walk in the light. So we said light versus lie. We could also have just as easily titled this section walk versus talk. Okay? Your walk, your talk versus your walk. Because here in verse 6 and 7, the contrast is between folks that said one thing and did something different, or folks whose walk, in fact, matched the talk. Okay? And we all would rather have someone whose talk and walk match up, right? Nobody really cares much for people who can talk it, but they don't really live it. I mean, that's in every facet of life, not just in church or even in spiritual things. You know, no, a perfect example. We're forced to live under certain laws. And yet when an abomination of a law like the Unaffordable Care Act is passed, who gets exempted from that? Congress. You know, that just drives you nuts when people don't walk the talk, so to speak. Hey, this is so good for you that I'm going to get myself out of it. You know, kids are great at that. I mean, kids are great at finding out if what you do matches what you tell them to do. Right? But, Dad, you said... Oh, yeah, I did, didn't I? You know, that's not something I taught them, okay? But they figure that out on their own, right? But, Dad, how come I have to and you don't have to, you know? The kids figure that kind of stuff out. It's kind of something that's built into our nature. But we all would much prefer that the walk and the talk match up. You know, we want that consistency that when someone talks the talk but doesn't walk the walk, what do we a lot of times call that? Hypocrite or hypocrisy, exactly, okay? That is pretending to be something you're not. If you look up the word hypocrite, it's a term that referred to an actor in a play, okay, in a drama or theater or whatever, and it was, in fact, someone who was pretending to be someone they're not. I mean, that's the whole concept of a hypocrite, pretending to be something that you're not. And here, John is saying, look, we don't need hypocrites in the church. In fact, we don't need two-faced, or however you want to say it. We need genuine Christians in the church and a genuine walk. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So here we have a contrast between light and lie. Here in verse 6, light, we have fellowship. And lie, we have darkness. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. So if we're in the light, we have fellowship. I have a preacher friend. The word fellowship here, the term, the Greek word is koinonia, okay, which means nothing to you, and that's okay, except it's for my illustration. I have a preacher friend who didn't take Greek in college, but he thought for sure he had learned the word for fellowship. And he says, boy, we're going to koinonia today, right? And what he's trying to say, he totally botched the word, and he was not impressed with me when I didn't recognize it. Well, when I went back and looked it up later, the reason I didn't recognize it is because he made it up. You know, it wasn't an actual Greek word. But, you know, he was not willing to accept any tutoring in that. He was convinced that he had it right. But so I always remember this word. Any other vocabulary words I've forgotten, I remember this one. Okay? The word fellowship. You know, in some people's, well, in this guy's terminology, a lot of times fellowship meant belly ship. Fellowship, you know, a lot of times we say we're going to have a fellowship. What do we mean? Food, right? Okay? But fellowship includes more than that. Fellowship, the term fellowship means a close association. Okay? It's a close association which is going to bring sharing, a relationship, mutual interest. Okay? Hopefully, a marriage relationship would be a good example of that. All right? There's mutual interest, there's sharing, there's association. There's, that close relationship. It also means participation, okay? But the idea of fellowship is that we're participating together. We're sharing. We have mutual interests, mutual goals. And as I was looking at that, it just made me stop and think, okay? Fellowship means mutual interests. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that God is interested in my interest, right? Now, I'm thankful that God does love me, and God does take pity on me, and that kind of thing. But really, if I'm going to have fellowship, that means the mutual interest aspect, I have to stop and ask myself, am I interested in the things God's interested in? Right? Am I interested in what God is interested in? Right? You understand that, whether it's a friendship relationship and a marriage relationship, you understand there's times when you have to learn to like things that you didn't like before, right? Or you learn about things that you had no involvement with before, okay? And I'm sure if we were to go around the room, those that are courageous enough to speak could give us some things that, all right, after we got married, here's something that I've learned that I had no interest in before, okay? But if it's all a one way, then it's not the right kind of fellowship, the right kind of relationship. And if I expect God to only, cater to me, then I've totally misunderstood the New Testament, right? That's the fundamental flaw of seeker-friendly or seeker-sensitive worship model, and I'll use the term worship in quotes. That is, it's all about me, and it's all about God meeting me where I am and accept. Now, I'm thankful that God, the Scripture says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I'm thankful Psalm 103 says He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Okay? And I'm not minimizing those things. But to focus exclusively on that without stopping to say, hey, fellowship means that I am to be interested in those things that God's interested in. That's another way of saying what Colossians 3 and verse 1 says. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That sounds a lot like a command, doesn't it? You know, it's something that we're to do and to learn how to do. But here, those that are in the light have fellowship with Him. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't have that sweet fellowship with the Lord, you're missing out. Okay? And then our Christian walk is designed to be a close fellowship with the Lord. That's what God wants us to have, is that close relationship with Him. I mean, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Okay? God created man, then he created all of creation, He created man, then He gave man a helpmeet, and then there was the voice of the Lord God in the cool of the day. God was doing what? Fellowshipping with man, right? Okay? And God has, for whatever reason that's beyond my comprehension, God has always desired our fellowship and our worship. Okay? It's not beyond my comprehension that God is worthy of that. But why does God want to have a relationship with me? He's God. Okay? He's got better things to do. You know, from a human standpoint, we could say that, right? But God has always desired that fellowship. And knowing, even before He ever brought the first molecules into existence out of nothing, knowing that when He made those molecules and made the elements and made man out of the dirt, that man would choose to sin and turn against Him, knowing all that before it happened, He said, all right, when He does that, I'm going to make another way that we can still have fellowship. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. Okay? That is, the decision was made, the plan was set in motion, and all of that, all of the plan for salvation was laid out before God called anything into being. Okay? But again, after man sinned, God desired to have fellowship. That's quite the thought, isn't it? So here, John is going off the assumption that his readers understand some of that. And he says, look, we're talking about fellowship here. And that fellowship, that close association with mutual interest and sharing and a close relationship, that participation together, that's what we're supposed to have with God as His children. But then we have a contrast here in verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. Okay? Now the term walk, you know what that word means? I'll give you one guess. It means walk. Okay? It's used many, many times in the New Testament in a literal sense. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee and He saw some fishermen. He said, hey, Peter, Andrew, forget that. I want you to come with me. Okay, Matthew chapter 9 and Mark chapter 2, you have the story of the man sick of the palsy, and Jesus said, arise, take up thy bed, and walk. Okay, and that's the literal term for walk, okay, but then it's used as a figurative, with a figurative application. Okay, a person's walk is a picture of their daily patterns. They're, you know, in Bible times, most of the travel was done by walking, all right, they obviously had some animals they would ride and so forth. But your daily walk was the places you walked, the things that you did, you know, the routine that you had, if you will. Paul used that term a lot, that walk representing your life, your patterns, your habits. I mean, for instance, Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, and we could find it over and over again in other places in the Pauline writings, but that term walk is here in an application sense to how we live. It's how we live. How we go about our day, how we go about our week, that is our walk. If we say we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in darkness. Okay, our pattern is one of darkness. What does that mean? Right, does that mean that we only operate at night? No. Again, that is an application sense. Light, God is light. It represents His holiness, His purity, His sinlessness, His righteousness. Darkness, then, is the absence of all of that. It is sin. It is unrighteousness. It is walking after the flesh, if you will. So the contrast here, walking with God in fellowship or walking in darkness, is to walk in darkness, all I have to do is not fellowship with God. You understand that, right? Okay? What is our default that we're born with. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Okay? Sin, our sin nature is our default. Romans chapter 6 and 7, Paul describes the battle between the old man, the new man, the flesh and the spirit, if you will. And when we get saved, when a person gets saved and they're indwelt by the Spirit of God, and God also makes them a new creature, therefore man being Christ a new creature, there's a new nature, but God doesn't remove the old nature. That's one of the blessings of heaven, that the old nature is gone. The older I get, the more I look forward to that. You know, not because I'm any more of a sinner now than I was before, I just understand it more. But the truth is, we have that back and forth battle, but our flesh, our default, is to sin, okay, to the flesh. So all we have to do, really, to walk in darkness is not intentionally walk with God. But here, John is describing someone who would profess to be a believer and walk in darkness. Is that if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Those are all presents there. Have fellowship is a present, ongoing action, but walk is an ongoing, present action. I'm saying I have fellowship with God, but I'm walking in darkness. Then it says we lie. That's a present tense too. It's an ongoing thing. I am walking a lie, if you will. I'm living a lie. By my walk, I'm contradicting what I say, so I'm lying. And do not the truth. That is an ongoing. I'm continually not doing the truth. So here, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The contrast there is walking in the light. That's also a present tense, ongoing thing. Have fellowship, present tense. So the contrast is between a pattern of walking in darkness or a pattern of walking in light. If I walk in darkness or if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Right? That one with another. Is that this way? Or is that this way? I submit to you the answer is yes. Okay? It's both. I mean, in an immediate sense, we're talking about having fellowship with God. Okay? But here, if you read 1 John 1 and 2, it's talking about the fellowship amongst the children of God. Right? And there's right fellowship amongst us when our fellowship with God is right, when our walk with God is right. And when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You know what else? That term cleanseth, that's an ongoing thing too. It's a present tense. That's an ongoing thing. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Anybody want to take a guess what kind of action deceive is? We're on a roll here. Deceive is an ongoing thing too. It's a present tense, ongoing kind of a thing. Okay? So I can continually deceive myself. That word deceive means to lead astray, to mislead. You know what else it means? It means, in the sense of to be misled, it has the idea of to wander aimlessly with no sense of purpose. You know? So if I'm deceiving myself, you know what I can end up doing? I can end up kind of wandering without purpose because I'm telling myself I'm walking in fellowship with God. The truth is I've allowed some darkness. And so here I am, I'm off track. I'm misled. I'm deceived. I'm out from where I'm supposed to be, and the truth is not in us. Now, in the overall context here of 1 John 1 and 2, we're talking about those that know the Lord, and here kind of a test. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, contrasted with verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. Okay? Verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, that term have not sinned, that's, all right, we switched gears here. That went to a perfect tense. All right? That's more of a finished action. You know, with an ongoing, I've not sinned. Okay, in other words, I'm not a sinner. All right, then I make God a liar, and His word is not in us. The contrast there, That's someone who does not have truly a relationship with God. All right? But in verse 9, this would be those who do know the Lord. Okay, the contrast in verse 9, if we confess our sins. All right, sins plural. All right? I think that means individual. Okay, we're going to confess the individual things as opposed to saying, I'm not a sinner. Okay? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, truth is not in us. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we're more familiar probably with verse number 9, but there's a lot of similarity between verse 9 and verse 7. Okay? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And last phrase, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. All right? That's the same idea here. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But that term, again, in verse number 9, if we confess our sins, that is a present tense, an ongoing thing. Okay? Again, that's why I would say that submit that this refers to the right relationship between us and God. Not, you know, in a, in this is not salvation. This is not a salvation application. All right? So, if we confess our sins, right, why would we make that distinction? Right, again, many of you that are in here this morning are married. Okay, the ones that aren't hope to be in the not too distant future. Okay, but in a marriage, okay, when you say I do, right, and until death do us part, there's a relationship that's permanent. Okay, so my status of being married is permanent. Okay, but that's not an automatic guarantee that the relationship between my wife and me is always on that mountaintop plane, right? Okay, mostly because, remember what we talked about a minute ago about flesh and default? Yeah, that's me. So, you know, my flesh and sin, that causes problems, right? And if we're honest, we say, hey, we struggle with sin, we struggle with flesh, we struggle with that mutual interest thing. Oh yeah, I have to learn to like what somebody else likes. You know, all of those things. And so, just because there is a permanence to our relationship status as husband and wife, doesn't mean that our day-to-day relationship doesn't have to be constantly worked on, right? And if I use that analogy, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that is referring to our daily walk with God, you know, our ongoing walk with God. The Scripture teaches once saved, always saved, if you want to say it that way, or eternal security, or if you prefer the term eternal salvation, I kind of like that one too, okay? But when we get saved, all of our sins are forgiven in a judicial sense, in the sense of punishment. All my sins are forgiven, including the ones I haven't even committed yet, but I will before I die. However, that's not, the Scripture also makes it clear, a license to do whatever I want to do because I've, in essence, got a get-out-of-hell-free card. I actually do have one of those. I showed it to Pastor. It's really flippant, in my opinion. But it, you know, our salvation, it's not a, you know, you're get-out-of-hell-free, but rather our salvation is an ongoing relationship. It's that fellowship. It's that mutual participation and mutual interest. Well, guess what? If I'm learning to walk after the Spirit, then I'm having to learn a new pattern. Okay? And there's times when I walk after the flesh. Well, what do I do then? And just like you had a really bad day and, you know, then you sit down at the supper table. Okay? And whether it's mom who is ready to pull all of her hair out after dealing with your kids, right? You know what your son did today? That's never a good sign. Okay, or whether, you know, dad came home and, you know, it's just it's been a rough day or rough couple days, and, you know, you just feel like venting, okay? Well, all right, so the venting happens, and then what? There's a disruption in the relationship. Well, in the same way, when I sin, there is a disruption in the fellowship, okay? We cannot have the mutual participation. I cannot have the sharing in the same way. Why? Well, I'll give you one verse from Revelation. Revelation 21:27 says, "There shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth," and "it" in that context is the new, is heaven, or the new Jerusalem. "Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." And we could give you many other scriptures demonstrating that God cannot fellowship with sin. Okay? When Adam sinned, Eve sinned, what happened to their fellowship with God in the garden? Immediately it was broken. Okay? And when we sin, it disrupts our fellowship, not our relationship. Or if I could define those terms differently, sin disrupts my fellowship with God, but it does not cause me to be disowned by God or to have a break in the relationship. Okay? But when I sin, there's a disruption. What do I have to do? I have to go and try to make that right. So if I go vent on my wife or I go vent on my kids, what do I have to do? Hey, look, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? All right? Real, that's our favorite thing to do, right? Of course not. The words we don't want to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry. Okay? But will you forgive me carries a lot more weight if it's preceded by those other words. But that's the same thing I have to do to God. If we confess our sins, the word confess, you probably know, it's two words put together. It means same word or same speech. It means to say the same thing. Okay? That is to say the same thing about sin that God does. Okay? So I say, God, I messed up. I can say, God, I sinned. I fill in the blank and name it. And I confess our sins. I think I should do it individually, as many as I can remember. What about the ones I can't remember? That's where the rest of it comes in. It cleanses from all unrighteousness. I believe that our fellowship is restored, that God cleanses us from the things that maybe we didn't even realize were wrong at the point. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that this here in verse number 9 is dealing with our walk, our day-to-day walk, our relationship. That's how do I restore, right? I've caused a breach in the relationship. I've caused a break in the relationship. How do I fix it? If I confess my sins, Lord, I sinned and I was wrong. Would you please forgive me? He is faithful and just. I'm glad for that word, faithful. God is faithful. He is consistent. He, again and again, will forgive me. This is the part that I struggle with a little bit more in just. Okay? The word means righteous. God is righteous in forgiving my sins. How is that possible? On the basis of Christ's sacrifice. Because Christ has already paid for my sins, then God is not violating His holiness to forgive that because it's already been paid. That is... this is what verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The end of verse 9 then, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So light or lie, if we're walking in the light, we have fellowship, verse 6, we have forgiveness, verse 9. And if I jump back up to verse 4, we have fullness of joy. These things write unto you that your joy may be full. All right? The fellowship comes with joy. That right relationship comes with joy. And that peace, the inner peace, that my relationship with God is right. So I'm walking in the light, I have fellowship, I have fullness of joy, I have forgiveness. If I'm walking a lie, what do I have? Verse number 6. We have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So verse 6, if I'm walking in a lie, I have darkness. Verse 8, we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So I'm walking in a lie, I have darkness, I have deceit. And then verse 10, I have denial. Okay? That is, if I'm walking in darkness, I'm deceiving myself. If I'm living a lie, I'm walking in darkness. Far better it is to walk in the light, right? And the truth is, this is not a one-time thing. As we've tried to demonstrate, this is an ongoing thing. This walking, the term walk refers to our pattern, our lifestyle, our habit of life. Okay? If you ask me to describe the lifestyle of Harvey Meisler, I probably couldn't do a very good job because I see him at church and occasionally over at the college. Okay? Now, if I ask Mrs. Meisler, she'd give me a lot better description because she sees it all the time, right? Okay? You have your impressions of everybody in here, but if we ask your kids, ask my kids, they'll give you a lot better Brother Blondo gets a lot of that, I bet, in King's Kids. You know, the kids will just tell you what's going on, right? But you know, when it comes to evaluating our relationship, we need to just kind of have the kids' view. All right, let's just be honest about what's going on. So, hey, here's the truth. Here's the real pattern. And it's not all bad. Okay? John is saying, look, I saw from the beginning with my hands handled that Jesus came so we can have fellowship. And look, we can have fellowship. Even if you sin, we can have fellowship. Let's enjoy the fellowship that we have. 1 John 2:1 says that if we sin, we have an advocate. The emphasis in 1 John chapter 1 here is not negative, but rather, hey, guess what? Don't forget the joys of fellowship and walking with God. Okay? And for those of us who've been saved a good bit, or maybe a long time, or for basically everybody that I see here, you know, today, it is your pattern, it is your habit to be in church and to be here consistently and all those kinds of things. The walk, don't lose the joy. These things around you that your joy may be full. The fellowship with God is sweet. It is satisfying and it's fulfilling. And that's what God intended. Okay? Don't let it become it's what we do because of who we are. But hey, let's enjoy the fellowship with God that He's given us to enjoy. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word. And I pray that You'd help us to continually walk in the light, Lord, and to walk our talk, that our walk would consistently testify of Your goodness. And Lord, we pray Your blessings now on the preaching hour to come in Jesus' name.